We have hopefully got on the end of the line now, Mark Wood. Mark, are you there?
I'm here, Fiona.
Fantastic. Hello. Oh, so far so good. It's absolutely brilliant to have you here. I know you're a very, very busy man, and it's great that you've taken the time out to speak to us. So, welcome to Big Boots and Celtic Roots.
Absolutely.
Right, as I say, it's a great pleasure to have you here. You are a man of many talents, obviously. Recording artist, performer, producer, inventor, Emmy Award winner, and crikey knows what else. So, and you've spent the last four decades as well, literally, electrifying the orchestra industry. And you are dubbed as the Les Paul of the violin world. So why, how, and when did it all start with Mark Wood?
Well, briefly, yeah, it started all about music. I was born into a musical family and an artistic family, which, of course, makes things much easier if you're pursuing music as a career. It's ingrained in my DNA, so to speak, so it's very deep inside me, the power and the beauty of what music does to us. So that's how I started off, as a love of music. And then it just so happens that my family, my mom had four boys in 4 years, and she's a concert pianist, and every one of us is a string player. We are the first all-brother string quartet in the United States in the 70s, and we would tour around playing Beethoven quartets and Mozart. And, of course, I would run home and listen to Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and Frank Zappa really loudly on my headphones to sort of seek out music in a general way. And then I got into Juilliard for a classical career, and that lasted maybe a year until I realized that when I heard Eddie Van Halen, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So it sort of shifted at that point, and it shifted the way towards more electric playing and then designing an instrument that can allow me to play the kind of music that I heard in my head.
Fantastic. And one of the ones I wanted to mention, of course, is the world's first self-supporting violin, which I've spoken to people about this, and they've sort of said to me, how does that work? Which is your Viper. Can you tell us a little bit about the designs and the benefits of owning a Mark Wood Viper?
Yes, the Viper is a invention that I put together because, Fiona, as you know, with violin, you have to hold it up with your chin, and it's sort of like a pinch on your neck. So I had to alleviate that pinch and make it a little more comfortable and a little bit better looking. You know, I would look at pictures of Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Page, how they physically related to their instrument, and I saw such tremendous relaxation and a sort of a sensuous relationship physically to the instrument. Then you look at a violin player, and it was filled with tension in their neck, and their whole body was tense and stiff, and I was like, man, I got to get away from this thing. So I developed a self-supporting system that the instrument holds itself up, so I don't have to hold it with my chin, so that I can run around, do backflips, and really physically take over the stage much more efficiently as a performer. And that changed my whole career at that point. And my dad was a well-known artist, and I had access to a wood shop because his family built religious furniture for temples and churches around the world. So I learned how to carve wood at 10 years old, and I built the first electric violin probably when I was about 10 years old in the early 70s. At that point, the only thing available was like a acoustic violin painted blue with a pickup on it, and that was considered an electric violin. And then I would look at all the guitar players and Gibson and Fender, all these really cool designs and colors, and it's like, man, we got to do something like that. So, of course, I figured I'll do it myself. So I built the first four-string, first five-string, first fretted violin, the first six-string, and then finally the first seven-string, which is my main instrument right now.
Yeah, it is an amazing instrument, and to hear the sound that comes out of it as well, I mean, that is something else you're known for, of course. You make a violin sound like an electric guitar, and you have sort of turned the string establishment on its head. Have you not? So, I mean, how has it been received nowadays, now you've got out there and done this?
Well, it's thank goodness it seems like the world is slowly catching up to me. I always felt that I was way ahead of my time for years, which is always fun, you know, to be ahead of yourself. Because my following and my fans were all guitar players. The string world were so stuck in the 18th century, they didn't know what was going on. They weren't even aware that rock and roll or jazz was even functioning. So they were sort of living in the 18th century. And it's only in the last 10 years where I've been doing my educational programs and working with orchestras that slowly but surely the sleeping giant and the sleeping elephant in the room is wakening up. So we're slowly seeing a tremendous surge right now. As you know, Fiona, in the guitar world, bass world, drum world, the innovation in that musicians and also instruments has been astounding. Synthesizers, samplers, guitars, acoustic instruments. I mean, it's just amazing. The violin, viola, cello have not changed in 400 years. So that's the giant Mount Everest that I am dealing with in the world. Not just United States, but everywhere in the world, people think when they see a violin that it does one thing, and the kind of player does one thing. So my job has not only to be creating great music as much as I can, but also to reach out to change the perception. And of course, when the change of the perception also is trying to change the way the players of stringed instruments think, is also a secondary challenge, because it's not only I'm trying to change the public's view, but I'm also trying to motivate string players to think differently, to think outside the box, and think innovatively. As you know, the string world, I read a great article that if Mozart was alive today, what would he be doing?
Yeah.
And I felt that he would be probably innovating at Apple computers. He would be Steve Jobs. He wouldn't be involved with the classical world because there's no innovation right now the way the last 40 years we've had jazz, hip-hop, rock and roll, R&B, country music. We've had such tremendous revolution in music, especially from America, as you know, that the string world is oblivious almost to that. I mean, there's small pockets of musicians like myself who are, you know, squeaking away outside that world, but 90% of that world is still frozen in time. So it's really like a double job for me to wake it up.
Well, you seem to be doing a fantastic job. I mean, I've sort of been following you for 2 or 3 years now, and I think what you do is amazing. And,
oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. And I mean, what you do for the kids across America as well, giving them confidence in their abilities and stuff. And I mean, as well as numerous TV appearances and performances and various collaborations with names such as Celine Dion, Lenny Kravitz, Sir Paul McCartney, Roger Daltrey, and the list is endless. You were also a founding member of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, many Brits will know about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but won't know that they know about it, because there was a TSO track used for a British Christmas commercial on TV, so I shall make sure everyone knows. Yeah, that's how I discovered Mark Woods, because I searched out the music and found out where it came from, and there was my hero born, so there you are. So, what? I mean, you're not with the TSO anymore, are you? Do you still guest with them, or is it...
Yes, they're all friends from high school.
Mm.
So these are a group of friends that I've known all my life. And after 15 years, it seemed to be important for me to, you know, spend more energy on what I felt was important with my career. So, you know, I still are in contact with them, and they're, you know, one of my dearest friends. But I felt it was important because life is very short, I'm finding out. And we only have about 80 years to do what we need to do. And I felt, you know what, I think I should spend a lot of time. So now I'm full-time, 24/7. Addressing my vision, which is really, you know, working with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and being part of that incredible, was very much a part of it. That thing now has grown so big, you know, it can't get any bigger, so I need to have more challenges right now. So I'm really finding a lot of satisfaction over empowering musicians. you know, not only string players, singers, and wind players, and brass players, and keyboard players, guitar players, and really getting involved with inspiring kids with music, and then, of course, just developing my own musical styles.
Mm. Well, it's going well, and I mean, I know you've got a lot of projects on the go at the moment, and you are also a very family-oriented man, and your wife, Laura Kay, performs with you as a vocalist, yes, am I right, yeah?
And
yes. And your son, Elijah, is that how you pronounce it, Elijah, or...
Right, Elijah.
Elijah, sorry. He plays drums with the Meltwood Experience, I believe, and you must be very proud of him.
I don't know. He's playing right now. I don't know if you can hear him, but I'm struggling to hear you because he's drumming next door in our studio.
Oh, bless.
But, he's quite a character. Mm. And, yes, my wife is a singer with us. In fact, Fiona, you know what's really been funny that I wanted to share with your listeners is that have you ever heard of Twisted Sister and Dee Snider?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's also a friend of mine, and he and I did a project. In fact, if you want to hear something that's beyond Trans-Siberian Orchestra, he and I did a project called Van Helsing's Curse, which was much more heavy and much more interesting.
Wow.
That you would love. It's called Van Helsing's Curse. Anyway, last night in New York City, we both did duets with Dee Snider, and we're going to post on my Facebook in the next 48 hours pictures and videos from Laura singing with Dee and me playing violin with him. So it really was fun last night. So yes, we have quite a team here with my son and my wife.
I look forward very much to seeing these videos and everything. So go along and like all the Meltwood pages on Facebook. You really must. And if you don't, I'll be after you. And you can see this. Excuse me. And your projects, of course, aside from wood violins and the Meltwood Experience, include the education program, Electrify Your Strings. That's been running successfully, I believe, for the last decade or so, and it's an intensive rock and roll workshop for school music education departments, and I've seen that's been great motivation for the kids, and it also raises money for music education, I believe, as well, and that has been featured, to correct me if I'm wrong, on the Today Show and CBS News and other media outlets. So tell us a little bit about your Electrify Your Strings.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Fiona, what has happened, as you know, that there's no record industry anymore in the world, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been challenging is how one continues to function on a high level without an infrastructure of a business with a record industry. So after the last 20 years owning my own record companies and owning my own music and building instruments, you create an industry that is self-motivating and self-fulfilling with it's funny, EYS addresses every part of my industry, so to speak. We bring the instruments in, my electric instruments, so the kids experience what it's like to be with somebody who innovates with instruments. So there's that sharing of motivating kids and my audience that if I can do it, they can innovate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly, especially now, as I said earlier, to do anything innovative in the music industry, is everything has been done. There's nothing more we can do.
Yeah.
Except internet stuff and electronic stuff, but with string pedagogy and strings and music, we've hit a brick wall. So it just so happens that my new experiences with not only building up my audience, not only sharing my music, not only building up my fan base and building up, you know, it's funny, in business it's called consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers of my product, and the huge payback for me is the expression on a kid's face. Mm-hmm. Who's never connected with their friends or connected with people until they were shown how to do it through music.
Yeah.
And when you work with a kid who might be sort of the loner in the back of the violin section, they don't talk much in school, those are the kids that we go after and open them up and let them feel the power of expressing themselves. That is a truly a mag. I mean, I'm just getting goosebumps now just talking about the experiences that we've had from kids who are almost suicidal and kids who are troubled and have terrible family lives and terrible childhoods. We come in and use music as a way to enlighten them and connect with their hearts and souls. And that, to me, with selling the music and experiencing the instruments and stuff like that. The end of the day, these kids are 10 feet off the ground. They're superstars. Yeah. And we have changed lives everywhere we go. With a kid, we get emails, endless emails of kids and parents who say, God, my kid never liked orchestra, or my kid never did well in school, and after your program, this, my kid is doing better in school. My kid feels a bit more confident in what they do. I mean, how can you not love that kind of response with your work? I mean, as a musician, I mean, I never even thought that I would have that kind of an impact, but it turned into that completely. You know, 10 years ago, I was hired by a school orchestra to develop an electric orchestra. Never in my wildest dreams that it would end up 10 years later. We've $1 million we've raised for music programs. Fantastic. In the United States. I'm doing a big tour of Australia in September 2013. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going to China. I'm dying to go with my programs to London and Europe. And it's just, you know, it's just really, really growing. So it's very exciting right now.
That's brilliant. And I mean, music is, of course, a universal language. And I can relate to all you've said because, I mean, I was the shy kid at school and I was forced into learning violin. And I was the kid that was ignored in the violin lessons, you know, stand in a corner and play Au Clair de Lune. That's all you're good for. And so, right. I gave up. And it was only on the discovery of Fairport Convention I was sort of out and buying another second-hand fiddle, you know. And I've persevered. I'm not good, although I have had musicians stay at my house and they've had me jamming with them. And a lot of it is about confidence. Every musician I've had at my house has said to me, stop tickling the strings, show some confidence and you'll play properly. And apart from the wobbly fingers bit, I cannot do that. I need somebody to show me how to do that. But I don't want to give up. I love playing it. And it does make you feel special if you can pick up an instrument and go out there and do something. And the likes of yourself getting out there and bringing that inspiration to these kids, it's just such a fantastic thing. And we do need you over here, because I don't think there's anything much in the way of that in England. I mean, Scotland's got quite a good music scene and kids are introduced to music at an early age in Scotland. I see a lot of it, but in England there was nothing available to me as a kid unless you were rich, you know. So
really interesting.
That's how I saw it all, and it's how I still see it. And I would be very interested to see Mark Wood come across here and try and get into this country and do something with it, and I'll help if you wish.
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, involve me. Plug. But no, I mean, that would be wonderful, as I say. And I mean, you do your rock orchestra camp as well. Do you still do that? Is that an annual thing that you run with your family?
My rock orchestra camp?
Yes. Yeah.
Every year we're going to develop, in 2014, we're going to have two separate campuses in the United States. It is growing at a feverish pace, and because again, there's nothing like that for kids. And Fiona, let's not forget that these kids really don't listen a lot to classical music.
No.
So if they're not listening to the music that they're playing, how do these teachers and parents and people and our society expect them to continue playing the violin or violoncello? There's so many roadblocks that we put up for kids who are, you know, I don't listen to Mozart, but boy, I love Led Zeppelin, or I love Miles Davis, yeah, or I love Pink Floyd. Well, you can play that too on a stringed instrument. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll show you how to do it.
Excellent.
So it's really been fascinating for me to watch a century-old pedagogy get frozen. Mm. I mean, literally frozen, where there is no creativity in the possibility to be original. I mean, when you hear Yo-Yo Ma and you hear Joshua Bell, I mean, that's a different level of music making. You know, they can't improvise, but they certainly make music, and that's not what I'm talking about. But that's such a tiny percentage of string players. The 99% of all other string players who struggle with the classical pedagogy aren't making music. They're just sort of being a thoroughbred horse by playing, you know, can play scales really well, but there's no music there, and there's really not enough personality for me. When you go see Mick Jagger, right, Fiona?
Yeah.
That guy's not singing in tune. He's not really a highly trained musician, but he's the most important performer in history.
Yeah.
When you go see, you know, Paul McCartney, and you experience great, great performers, Prince and James Brown. I mean, these are not trained musicians. These are original, and this is where the string world gets into trouble, is that we become victims of our academic training. And I think that that's where we get into trouble, and nobody's willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
When I do master classes at conservatories from Juilliard to the Easton School of Music, I am so surprised that not one of these kids or teachers can play one note of their own.
Yeah.
Not one note. And then you go to the local bar or a cabaret or rock club or jazz club downstairs, and you listen to magnificent masters of music who have never been trained, who are self-taught. Jimi Hendrix, totally self-taught.
Yeah.
Frank Zappa never had a lesson in his life. And they changed history through music. They are the modern-day Mozart and Beethoven. So what we're seeing is we're not seeing Beethoven's and Mozart's coming from the classical world. We're seeing them coming from the pop, rock, jazz, hip-hop world. And that does not bode well for me. I want the string world to regain its attention to the world, because, as you know, Fiona, it's an awesome instrument. The violin, viola, and cello are beautiful instruments. We can do Paganini was their first rock star, right?
Mm.
I mean, we can't forget that the string world drove the music world for hundreds of years, up until 1961, 62, when the Beatles came out and they played electric guitars. That changed everything.
Yeah.
And we've never been the same since. And instead of us, as string players, trying to hold the keeper of the flame of classical music, instead of doing that, we should be out innovating and making new music like the Celtic players do, like the fiddlers do, like the jazzers do, like the rockers do. And that's the only way, Fiona, that we're going to be surviving this very, very difficult stage right now. As you know, in the United States, we are losing orchestras right and left. The audiences don't listen to classical music anymore.
No.
Because it is what it is. I still love classical music, and I love listening to Brahms and Beethoven all the time. But all the people I play in front of, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear my music. They want to hear somebody who's living and breathing in front of them, that's making music that's spontaneous and interesting and innovative and thought-provoking and bold. They want that. They don't want to listen to a Beethoven's Fifth Symphony again.
Yeah, that's
you know, so that's a massive struggle that we're dealing with, and we're losing a lot of people. Orchestras are going out. The conservatories are now, instead of in the 50s and 60s, conservatories were filled with Russians, Europeans, and a couple of American students. Right now, the demographic in the United States, it's 75% at Eastman School of Music is Asian, which is absolutely wonderful and great.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the shift demographically that happened in the last 50 years, where Russia and Europe were the supreme suppliers of classical musicians.
Yeah, that's
and how look
true.
At how that has changed.
That
so
is.
It's fascinating to watch that world struggle with that lack of leadership. The last leader in classical music, Fiona, was Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah,
in the 60s. Where he went on TV and he talked about the power of Beethoven, the power. But also, let's not forget that Leonard Bernstein also wrote West Side Story.
Yeah, of course.
He wasn't just a classical, specific. He was into jazz. He was into pop music. He was a consummate musician. And he was truly one of the biggest mentors that I had. I worked with him when I was 15 years old at Tanglewood in Massachusetts in the United States.
Wow.
And he changed my life. He was the guy I wanted to be. You know, I wanted to be Eddie Van Halen and Jimi Hendrix, but But Leonard Bernstein was the whole package because he could conduct Mahler, he could play piano with Mozart, and he could compose this most magnificent music that combined jazz and American styles like you've never heard before, and there's never been anybody since then. And because of that, we have seen a tremendous downfall in the United States with interest in orchestras and classical music. So unfortunately, Fiona, when we see that happen, it affects everybody. It affects me. Mm. When I go to schools, all of a sudden the string programs are cut. You know, what? Are you you're cutting the string programs? Well, no one's listening to the string music anymore, Mark. Mm. Well, wait a second. Check this out. You can play Led Zeppelin playing your violin, and the audiences go, well, I've never heard that. And then I come in with my concerts, and I flip them on their heads, and they go, oh, my God, we need to develop an electric orchestra. We need to change the curriculums. So I'm developing curriculum for string programs. I'm trying to keep relevancy and spontaneity back into our string world.
That's fantastic.
And I'm sorry if I was talking too long. I don't know.
Hey, it's fine.
If we're off the air.
No, we're fine. I just wanted to ask you before we go to Weblinks and a competition. You promised me a competition, if that's still okay, about the Mark Wood Music Foundation. Is this a newer project of yours, or is this one been on the go a while? I know I've seen it sort of posted around Facebook this last week to the Mark Wood Music Foundation. Is this sort of along the lines of what you've been doing still, just branching out? Or?
Right. What we've been finding in the last 10 years of me doing educational is I've been bumping into parents, community leaders, students who 10 years ago were in high school or college are now professional in the professional world. So what we're finding in the last 5 or 6 years, those people want to give back like I am, and they're desperate to connect what I'm doing with a broader picture so that they're wanting to contribute money to the foundation to help that. We go to a lot of schools that 75% of the kids cannot afford to eat.
Yeah.
And when you go to a school like that, it's really a different type of rhythm, metaphorically, than anywhere else. So what's happening is that we've got corporations and we've got baby boomers, as I don't know if you understand that expression.
Mm, yeah.
It really has changed everything. It's not my parents anymore in control. It's people like me who are parents and grew up on rock and roll. We're not scared of this music. My parents were, but we're not scared of it. And they see a value in integrating the music that they love into elevating their kids' experience with a stringed instrument. So they want to help contribute to this. So the foundation was set up so that not only my vision is supported, but also we have outside sources to feel empowered that when they can contribute whatever money they can, that their money is going to go into changing somebody's life. And that's what I think is a really beautiful byproduct. We're not looking to develop more musicians necessarily. Mm. We're developing people who can connect to their emotions.
That's great.
That's where art and music becomes a critical part of education.
And the Mark Wood Music Foundation can be found at www.mwmfoundation.org, I believe. I do have one of my regular listeners who sits and posts up links to everything I do on Facebook during the show, and he's been putting all the Mark Wood links up, so thank you, JD, for that. So you can go and...
Great, thank you.
No excuse for not checking out Mark Wood now. It's all over my page. we'll have to wrap it up in a second, but it's been fantastic talking to you. I'm so glad it's gone smoothly, and thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us.
Great, Fiona. I think we're good.
If you just want to give us, throw your web links at us, where people can find you, just for those who aren't taking notes of my page and the ones who are tuned in locally, and then we'll know where to find you. I know, but they might not, so.
Are you talking about my Facebook address?
Your main official website, if that's okay.
Thank you. It's markwoodmusic.com.
There you go, markwoodmusic.com. Go and check this guy out. He is utterly amazing. And I'm going to stick a YouTube up later on my Facebook page of you doing what you do, because it's just, I've sort of, the first time I ever heard you play the violin and it was like an electric guitar, I was like, that's dubbed. and then I watched it again and I was just like, I've got to learn to play my violin like that, and I need to buy a wah-wah pedal. which you can buy from Mark. Mark Wood sells his violins. Go on his website and have a look, because they are absolutely amazing, and you custom build them as well, don't you? Although they're pretty expensive, but well worth it. So, and I want a violin like yours, which lights up on stage. That is amazing.
Yes. Anytime you're ready, Fiona, we'll build something for you.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. I need to get a job first, and then I will hold you to that. Right, we shall say goodbye to you now, then I'll move on. But thank you so, so much. This has been an absolute pleasure and an honour for me. And keep in touch with us, and if you're over here, come on the show.
Absolutely, Fiona. It was a pleasure for me also, because what meant a lot to me is you not only did your homework, but you're also a violin player.
I try my best. One day I may let you hear me play.
Absolutely. An honor, my dear.
Well, thank you very much.